the scripture lesson and the gospel lesson for this Easter Sunday comes to us from St. John, the 20th chapter, and I want to read the first 9 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in, saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came after, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. On this day, especially, we give God thanks for God's word to us. How close should we come? How close should we come? Let us pray. Now, gracious God, that the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. I wanted to share this quote, whose author I could not trace. But they said, "We do not merely say, 'Be good, come to church.' We do not merely say, 'Keep the commandments.' But above all, Christ is risen. Christ is risen." And from that first Easter morning until this day, there is for many the joy that Christ is risen. And for many, there is the controversy that Christ is risen. I think at times we all have some Missouri in us. Show me. Show me. And some of what we might call the evidence can be questioned. Yes, the tomb was empty. But it's true that the body could have been stolen. There were even laws in this day warning people against stealing or robbing graves. There's also something about death in that it seems so final. And we have a tendency to want to keep our distance from a corpse or from the grave. And for those who had stood on that Friday and had watched as Jesus suffered upon the cross, for those who were there and watched as the blood came streaming down. And yes, for those who were there and heard Jesus say, "It is finished," how then can resurrection be possible? How then does one come to the place to be able to say, Christ is risen? Christ is risen. We can begin by understanding that the tomb was not proof of resurrection. But it is a sign. It is a sign. And so how close should we come to the sign of resurrection? What position should we take around the empty tomb? Mary is there. Mary is there. And she has come out of love. Mary's faith was not complicated. For you have in Mary what you might describe as thankful living. Mary has been a puzzlement to many, Mary Magdalene. Not long ago, Time magazine did a story on Mary. Really, in some ways, it is easy to understand. The scripture records that she was a person with seven demons, and Jesus casted those demons out of her. From that moment, she traveled with Jesus. From that moment, she was thought to be a person of wealth, and so she provided and shared for the Jesus and the disciples. Mary was standing at the foot of the cross. Mary was there at the tomb. As soon as she could, as soon as the Sabbath was over, early in the morning, she is at the tomb. And she discovers that the tomb is empty. Early in the morning, she is running to find the disciples and to tell them, come and see. Mary took the position of love. And she came close to the tomb out of love. If our response is one of love, then we find what Martin Luther said to be true. Christ is in the midst of us. He is and ever shall be. Christ is in the midst of us, and He is and ever shall be. John also draws close to the tomb. And you can describe John as taking the position of belief. John is the first to believe in the resurrection. John looks and he would believe. I am sure, that someone at that moment could have stepped up and challenged John. Challenged him around the tomb being empty. Challenged him around the grave clothes being put in their place. And the napkin being placed in a way that it describes and signifies that the resurrection was peaceful. And it was a part of God's plan. In fact, it was God's plan fulfilled. When we come to this point of belief, then we are at the place of a new beginning. Christ is alive. And so within our hearts, within our life, there can be renewal and transformation. This is now springtime. And it is much more than just nature renewing itself. It is springtime in each of our lives. Let me share with you this story of two Japanese monks, Tenzin and Ikeda. They were walking along the road one day, and they came upon a beautiful woman in silken gowns. She wondered how she would get across the road because there was mud. Finally, Tenzin walked in the mud, lifted her out of the mud, took her along the side of the road, made sure she was okay, and then began to walk on. Ikeda was upset. He was angry. And he stayed that way all the remainder of the trip. And finally he said to him, because he could take it no longer, "How could you do that? How could you touch a woman? You know that it is against our faith." Tenzin responded, "Oh, my friend, are you still carrying her? I had already left her along the side of the road." There is something about believing in resurrection, that the very things that we tend to keep on carrying during life, those weights of guilt, all that happens to us in the past, there is something about resurrection that allows us to let go, to leave it on the side of the road. John came close to the tomb and he believed. Peter would draw near the tomb, and not only near the tomb, but you know Peter, he had to take a direct position. He goes right in and he doesn't know what to believe. It is amazing in many ways that Peter was there at all. Remember that he had denied Christ. Peter had said, "If you die, I'll die with you." When it got tough, Peter denied that he ever knew him. But Peter is still there. And at the resurrection, It takes you to places that you may not expect to go. I read one commentary on St. John 20, and I wanted to share it with you. It said, "There really is no story about the resurrection in the New Testament. There is no poetry about it. Instead, it is simply proclaimed as a fact. Christ is risen." In fact, the very existence of the New Testament itself proclaims it. Unless something very real took place on that strange and confused morning, there would be no New Testament. There would be no church. There would be no Christianity. We can understand Peter drawing near the tomb and being confused. We can understand our own confusion. And yet, on this Easter, this message of resurrection is for our time. It's for our time in the midst of war. It is for our time in the midst of poverty that continues to increase across the world. This message of resurrection is for our time, with all of the uncertainty and all of the separation that we live with. If I might bring it just a little closer. During this past week, during Holy Week, this message of resurrection spoke too much, so much, to trying to understand what was happening with Terry Schiavo. Trying to understand what is at stake here. Trying to understand, but yet there is no understanding, is there? It's just a very tragic situation. And for me, this message of resurrection says, I think she ought to be able to die with dignity. And the rest of us then go on and try to understand what life is really all about. And then, for the tragedy in Minnesota, what is it that would lead someone to do that? We really don't know, do we? But I think what we do know is that it had happened once before, right here in our own community, at Columbine High School. Once was enough. Twice is way too many. What can we do? What can we do as the church that can have an impact upon these young people? How can we as the church proclaim a message that there is always, always hope? And things don't get so bad that you can't know of victory. This message of resurrection, it proclaims so much to who we are today and what it is that we need to be about today. Tomorrow, Easter will be over. A month from now, it'll be a month later. 6 months from now. You know what I'm saying. But this message, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. It is the message for each and every day. Praise God today. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.